Joining the studio by the Barnsley Chief Executive, Ben Mansford. Loads of questions coming in now, Ben. Andy says just thanks for coming in, by the way, and very good of Radio Sheffield to give us this insight, and for Ben for getting involved during the summer. And he also asks if they can offer Bobby Hassel another deal, please. And a lot of supporters got in touch with this, Ben, sort of wanting to know, you know, why Bobby Hassel wasn't being retained. Obviously, very popular player, who's been at Barnsley an awful long time. Is that one definitely done now? Is he not going to be coming back?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing I'd like to say, while we've got the opportunity, and I think, you know, we try not to make many mistakes as a football club, but every so often, I think you've got to put your hands up. And I think, because we probably know that Bobby's testimonial's coming up, and I'm hopeful very early next week that Bobby and his committee, has been very ably assisted by Darren Hayes and a number of individuals, that is our day. That is our, and I say our, that's the royal week, because as I said, when I think it was Paul or Andy asked me about it not so long ago, I feel a bit of a fraud talking about Bobby Hassel, because Bobby's been at the club 10 years and played 299 times for the club and been a fantastic servant, not just to the football club, but to the town and the sports community and the wider community in general. So I do feel a bit of a fraud. But I think the one sort of, I'll be honest to say, sort of slight mistake that we made was we should have really thanked Bob when we retained the list. But I think what we had in mind as the club is that we knew his testimonial's coming up. And Bobby's testimonial would be a fantastic day for everybody that has known Bob for far longer than I and connected to the football club from the ownership down, including all the fantastic supporters we've got, to pay tribute to a fantastic servant of this football club. And on behalf of the club, I feel I can and should thank Bobby for 10 years' fantastic service. It's good to maybe that question's coming to give me the opportunity to do that now. Bobby Hassel, I saw a sort of smattering of Bobby, and in particular his first 60-odd minutes at Leeds United in Danny's first game in charge. And I also saw Bobby in the under-21s and the way he talked to the youngsters and the way he conducts himself. Bobby Hassel has been a pleasure, as I understand it, to have around the football club for the last 10 years. He's been somebody that I've got to know to a small extent, but as I say, I feel like a bit of a fraud talking too much about Bob. In terms of the decision, look, you know, football decisions that are made at the football club, you know, should remain private, and what the reasons and the wherefores with that, I think, you know, that's not for discussion here. What is clear is that we wish Bobby all the very, very best with whatever he does next in his career. I believe he still has got something to contribute, maybe at the right club for Bobby. But here and now, we thank him for 10 years' brilliant service. He's a thoroughly brilliant individual that's got a wonderful family that he thinks a lot of, and I'd ask all the fans, as and when Bobby, through our social media and through his own forums, announces his testimonial, that is a fantastic opportunity for everybody connected to Barnsley and the football club to give Bobby the send off that he deserves.
Let's fit one quick one in before we get to the travel. This is from Lee. He says, could you ask Ben what's going to be the situation with the kit supplier again this year? Obviously, it's something that supporters love to talk about at this time of the year, is the new kit. Is it going to be Nike, or will it be somebody else? He wants to know.
Before my time at the football club, we entered into a number of deals which saw certain of our commercial operations be run by third parties. We entered into a four-year deal with a company called Just Sport that operates a number of franchises. One of them was the Nike franchise. So for the last 3 years, the first 3 years of the 4 years, we've been in Nike. Next year, that's likely to change to one of the other franchises that they operate. The kit designs, I believe, are very positive, and I quite like them both, and they'll be out in the not-too-distant future. But will we be with Nike next year? No.
Quite predictably, Ben, we've also had people starting to throw names our way, and I know you're not one for getting into sort of revealing names too much, but I'll read this one in particular just because it's a player who Danny has shown interest in before and has in fact worked with before. Jeff's got in touch and he says, is Billy Payne to one of the players on Barnsley's target list this summer?
He's not on a short list of miners yet.
There you go. That's that one answered for you there, Jeff. nice and to the point there with regard to Billy Painter and Barnsley. We had a lot of people asking about this rumour that came out this week about Chris O'Grady and Cardiff City. And O'Grady's a player who has been linked with moves away ever since the end of the season, really. But this latest one was linking Cardiff with him. Have you had any offers for Chris O'Grady?
Chris O'Grady scored 15 goals in a team that unfortunately was relegated last year, and as a mobile, established target man with an eye for goal, I'm sure he's going to attract Championship interest, and he has attracted Championship interest. When there is something for the supporters to know on Chris O'Grady, when we get to a stage where we receive an offer that is acceptable to our football club, the fans will know, and Chris and his representatives will be given permission to speak if it's right for Barnsley Football Club. If it's not right for Barnsley Football Club, Chris returns with the rest of the squad on the 30th of June and he leads the line for us in League One next year. But yes, I'm not going to pretend that Danny and I and some of our coaching staff and some of our coaching staff past and present haven't been contacted by their counterparts about Chris O'Grady, and I too are contacted by my counterparts. Chris had a good year last year. He won awards for his from the club and the supporters associations connected to how well he played. He scored 15 goals, and I think when you're a football club looking at players and you see that a centre forward's got 15 plus goals, then he becomes attractive. So I'm sure Chris, and I know Chris has got his Championship admirers, and it's up for them if they want Chris, because he's under contract with us till the 30th of June 15, to make us offers that we find acceptable. And if we do, then we'll deal with that then. The other element to that is sometimes whatever we might want to achieve with Chris O'Grady, he and his representatives may think otherwise, and at that point we have to sort of try and get to a point that works for everyone.
Could it benefit the football club to sell one of the players, one of the sellable assets, and then have a chance to rebuild the team perhaps with the money that you've raised from that?
I think we won't make any decisions that we don't feel benefits the football club. Chris is a really good individual. He's a family man. He lives his life the right way. He's an absolute pleasure. He's always prompt and does his bit. And, you know, it'll be a real shame if Chris has to move on, but he will only move on if it is for the benefit, as deemed by the management and the executive and the ownership and the board of Barnsley.
Because you're not going to sell him on the cheap, are you? I mean, you mentioned there he scored 15 goals in a division where it is difficult to score a lot of goals. You're going to want a good price for a player who's proven he can do it at that level now.
Yeah, and that's what I'd say to anybody, and I have said to the individuals that have contacted us about Chris. It's just very small circle, the football world. It's why you guys at times know things before you should do. There's not many secrets in football. I just feel that Chris has done enough that we feel confident in where we want to go with Chris. If anybody comes in, we know where that's at. And at the right time, we'll allow Chris to move on, but only if it's right for Barnsley Football Club.
So far, is it a case of just initial contact with other clubs, or have you actually rejected an offer?
No, where we're at with Chris is when an offer comes in that we find acceptable, then we'll deal with that. And until that time, Chris is off preparing right. They all were in for fitness testing before the end of the season, and they all know what they're doing when they come back in on the 30th of June. And if there is anything that the supporters need to know, it'll come from the football club, and that'll be their confirmation, not the various rumour mills and the agent-fueled speculation in the wrong parts of newspapers.
So just to get an answer on that, you haven't rejected an offer yet, then?
No, there's not been an offer that's acceptable for us for us on Chris O'Grady.
OK, that's Chris O'Grady sorted then, Barnsley fans, on BBC Radio Sheffield. We're with the Barnsley chief executive, Ben Mansford. We had one or two asking about the youth team and the setup there. Another Dave asked about this. You know, is the recruitment strategy going to change this off-season to perhaps put more attention and focus on the young players at this club?
Absolutely. I think at times the Championship is a relentless league, and the finance involved in that, and you've touched on one or two reports that have come out in the last few days, highlight that. And for a Danny Rose or a Paul Digby or a Noble Lazarus or even a young James Bree, Jack Cowgill, Nana, George Maris, those types of individuals, it's a substantial step up. To prove or to go from under 18 football to Championship football, you could argue that the step to League One might not be as considerable. The owner has allowed the academy to qualify for Category 2 status, which is a substantial cost. John Stones came through. That's great. But now we need to make sure that we're getting youngsters through on a very regular basis. And if we are able to get youngsters through on a very regular basis, there's twofold. One, players that come through, and I know from being an agent at their own club, you tend to get on more economical terms than the ones that you have to buy in. And the second thing is there's nothing better than watching one of your homegrown who you know cares passionately about the football club. And we've tried to do that now with the staff as well, with Mark Crosley joining and one or two others, so that you feel there's a stronger link to Barnsley than using the loan market. So will the younger players be given an opportunity this year? Yes, for a variety of reasons. And I think if we are to continue, and I think, you know, the finance involved that the owner provides to, or the security to provide the academy to continue to function at Category 2 level, we need to see a return on that investment. And this year, I think we'll get a really clear picture as to the quality of youth coming through our academy, because they will need to be able to contribute.
I can't tell you how many times during the, you know, the last few years we've had fans talking about, why isn't this person been given a chance? Why haven't we given this young guy a chance? And, you know, the last couple of managers before Danny often spoke in their interviews about the promising talent that is coming through, and we've seen John Stones go on and, you know, could well still end up in Brazil at the World Cup with England. You know, is it a case where it is time for these guys, one, to get a chance, but they've also got to take it when they are given that chance?
I think that's right. I think what they will be given this year is an opportunity. And what we don't want to do is, I was speaking to Patrick the other day, and you talk about an Alistair Taylor, for example, and I watched him from the other side as an agent, think this is a fast pacey attacking winger, and he was somebody I sort of thought was well worth signing as an agent. And there's probably two or three others like that. And have we not been able to blood them at Championship football, and they're going to make it, they're 21, they're released into the non-league scene. This season, we're going to give those players an opportunity. Danny's very positive about giving them an opportunity. I think Reece Oates, Danny Rose up top, we've got Nana, we've got Maris, George, a young player called George Maris scored, I think, 15, 16 goals from midfield. We had James Bree as an under-16 come on and play 20 minutes at right-back. I did berate Danny Rose because Young Bree put a great ball into the box with a few minutes to go, and I'd have bet my house on Danny Rose scoring that. So I think there's George Smith at left back, Jack Cowgill, an under 18 centre half. So I think it's very exciting, and I think the way that the supporters have renewed in numbers, we're over 6,000 season tickets now, which is fantastic, and I thank them here and now for that support. They're probably ready to see a different dynamic on the field. We're definitely ready to see that. Danny's building that, and I think there'll be a real homegrown youth element as part of that. If then they don't seize those opportunities, then we may have to go to plan B. But plan A is to definitely give those youngsters an opportunity.
And how crucial is Paul Heckingbottom and his links between the academy and the first team? Because we've seen, well, there's three clubs in this region now who have essentially the person who is controlling or coaching the young guys on the bench on a Saturday afternoon. We've seen it with Lee Bullen at Sheffield Wednesday, Chris Morgan does it at Sheffield United, and now Paul is doing it with Barnsley as well. How important is it to have that guy who is kind of like the go-between as well as coaching the young guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had this debate at a board meeting as a football staff and a board recently as to what title you put on Paul Heckingbottom. I've got to be careful. I don't want to give him too good a title. I'll be coming for a pay increase. But joking aside, Paul is a fantastic individual who cares about Barnsley Football Club and lives in the town, and his family's in the town. He cares passionately about developing the next generation and understands the business need for us to develop the next generation. And having Paul as a senior development coach, like Chris Morgan, like Lee Bullen, it's finally obviously good to see one or two come through at Sheffield Wednesday this year. Obviously, Sheffield United have probably stole the thunder in the area in recent times of developing and selling on all those contributing. We now have had substantial investment in our academy for a number of years. They're at Category 2 status. Paul has had quite a meteoric rise. I mean, it wasn't that long ago he was doing the 14s, but he's a very progressive coach. He's got a great work ethic, and he complements Chris Hutchins and Danny Wilson and Mark Crosley really well. So I think, you know, I couldn't, you know, say good enough things about Paul Heckingbottom. But the proof will be in the pudding next year. And Ronnie Branson and Mark Burton, the academy staff, will work hard. And Paul provides that link to make sure that progression. There's no glass ceiling. And I think dropping into League One will be a fantastic opportunity for some of those youngsters to cut their teeth. Plus, we have a fairly relentless games programme. My media team were telling me we're 41 consecutive Saturdays. So there won't be any time for anybody to take their feet off the gas. And the other good thing that Danny alluded to with the youth is at times they come into the team. There's no fear. You know, when young James Bree went on that last day of the season, Danny didn't see any fear in his eyes. And I think that's really exciting for us going forward.
We've still got a lot of questions coming in. We've got one on the Rotherham Titans here from Lee, who says, can you ask if the Rotherham Titans deal is dead following their defeat in the promotion playoffs, or is the likely ground share still going to happen? He wonders that.
Yeah, the Rotherham Titans was purely linked to them getting to the Premiership, the Zurich Premiership, and that hasn't happened. I think they had a very good go, and it didn't. So I've not spoke to Nick Cragg and his team since. They were very good, very professional to deal with. I wish them all the very best for next year. But I think they'll stay where they are on the basis they've stayed in the Championship.
Well, speaking to Ben Mansford, the Barnsley chief executive, Jamie wants to know, how disappointed were you with some of the deals made in January that didn't pan out when the club was still obviously trying to fight for survival in the Championship?
I think I said this in the that half an hour piece I did with Andy before the Charlton game. Let's not sort of beat around the bush. I mean, some of the signings we made in January didn't quite, well, they didn't come to the party. But would, when you look at the deals that we did, if somebody had said to you, would you take Jack Hunt, who'd moved for over £2 million and had performed incredibly well the year before at Huddersfield in the Championship, an exciting right-back who was with Premiership ilk, and for the contribution we made towards his wages, take him ahead of Scott Wiseman, yes. Ryan McLaughlin, who started like an absolute house on fire against Blackpool in that victory, would you have taken him ahead of the right-back I just mentioned? Yes. Manny Frimpong, with exclusive Premiership, Championship and international experience from an Arsenal pedigree, ahead of one or two of the central fielders we had, yes. Liam Lawrence, a fantastic competitor with another good pedigree, would you take him? Yes. Proswich, you know, whenever he started for Hull, he scored, and we needed something, would you have done that deal ahead of one or two of the players that we had? Again, we would. So I think it's okay to look back now and say one or two didn't work, and I'm prepared to admit that. I think when we look at the point in time that we made the decision, and for the finance involved in the decision we made, you would make those decisions again. I don't think we can deny that Frimpong didn't seem to hit the ground in the way that we wanted. I do blame Andre Mariner slightly. I think he was just as upset to be at Sheffield Wednesday Barnsley that day as Manny was. But anyway, I've been accused of being a bad loser one too many times this year, so I better not go into referee territory, because I know you've got Howard Webb on later.
Yes, yeah, Howard Webb will be with us after 4 o'clock to talk about Rotherham and with the World Cup. I mean, in terms of the recruitment, do you feel like, you know, if you could go, and it's very easy to say with hindsight we would go back and do things differently, would you have gone back last summer? Is there a lot of things, or just a few things, you would have done differently as you prepare for what increasingly was becoming a very difficult Championship to survive in?
Yeah, I think I'm hopeful, you know, the board won't be upset with me saying that. I think there's probably the single biggest mistake we made, and I think we all have to take responsibility for this at the club and the football management involved in the club, is that the team had only lost 4 in 27 when the season finished, and David was sort of sorting his affairs out and wanting to make sure him and his staff were at the club beyond the end of last season. And I think he rewarded the honesty and the endeavour that the players showed in the second half of that season. And therefore, and you could argue that if Manchester United made the same mistake with their resources higher up the football pyramid, then we stayed loyal to the team that kept us up, and they were offered improved contracts and longer contracts, and some maybe that actually could have done to have been circulated for being available. We didn't do that. We showed loyalty to those, and unfortunately, this season was one too far for a number of them. within the dynamic that we had, David clearly achieved the impossible last year. He got a real siege mentality together. And I think if you look back and you look at the wheres and wherewithals, I think that's the one mistake that, or the one decision that we made that we maybe could have sort of said, right, okay, do we look to rejuvenate the squad during an entire 12, 14 week, whatever it is, summer window, rather than what we had to do was try and rejuvenate the squad for Danny using the loan market. And when you do that, you're getting players that are either out of form because they've not been playing due to what their current manager, or that they've been injured, like a Jack Hunt or a McLaughlin or a Frimpong, and haven't played. So I think when we look at last season, that's the one thing that we probably got off on the back foot on.
And I sense that, you know, this summer, you know, rejuvenated might be a word that you're kind of using for the squad this year, that you actually feel like this is an opportunity to sort of turn over a new leaf, to sort of shape the team in a slightly different way, with a lot of attention to the youth, but also with the recruitment that you're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we let 14 players go. I think Danny's right up for the challenge, you know, and I think it being a reasonably blank canvas gives him extra motivation and extra focus, because it's his chance to put his stamp on things. I think the board and the ownership feel it's an opportunity to draw a line in the sand and go again and build from the bottom up in terms of the playing side. And I think that size of challenge isn't daunting to us. It's exciting to us. And with the right individuals that I sort of trust in Danny to bring in, and myself to do the right deals on for us as best we can, because you're not dealing with widgets, you are dealing with flesh and blood. You won't always get that right. That we will drive forward this year, and if we recruit well this summer with a lack of finance outside the clubs with parachute payments, we should be able to build a squad that I think will be, you know, way smaller in number than what we had at certain times last year, but hopefully be a set of individuals who are dead keen, determined and happy to be playing for Barnsley Football Club. And if we put that dynamic on the pitch, I think the supporters will enjoy the next season ahead.
We had a question from Darren, sort of wondering about the timing of Chris Hutchins coming in and Mark Crosley coming in and Mickey Mellon departing and the previous goalkeeping coach. And I just wanted to sort of take that point and take it on a little bit. At what point in the season did you think, right, OK, you know, we want to do this, we want to sort of really let Danny go and get his own guys? What was sort of the inspiration behind that? And was there any point in the season when you thought, you know, maybe this hasn't worked with Danny Wilson? We brought Danny in, he's not been able to arrest the slide, we have been relegated. Was it always that you felt entirely confident with Danny Wilson being the man to take this club forward in League One?
I think the first thing I'd like to say there is Mickey Mellon and Ian Wilcox worked incredibly hard for the football club. And they're good people, and they worked really hard, and they're talented, and Mickey's back in work. He's a manager in his own right. I think what we realised, Watford away was a tough day, and I think I spoke to Danny at length. Danny said in his media that he felt maybe at times, because Mickey is a talented coach, he's just about to finish his pro licence, but he probably is a manager, and that we'd got to a point of that Watford game where we needed to be really clear. Danny was our manager, and therefore we supported him and felt that maybe making that change then was the right time. So we made that change. Danny wanted to make it. It was a shame, because Mickey, and I think the fans sort of quite liked the way he conducted himself, even as an assistant. I think he put together a team that were competed and won at Brighton this year, that was unlucky away at Burnley. Got the point at home to Yeovil, when I think Mickey knew he had to try and win the game, and it probably was different. So That there was a variety of reasons involved in that. It was in no way a reflection in Mickey's capabilities or Ian's capabilities. It was just, as you said, that Danny felt he was the manager. He was the one the football club had picked and the board had picked to take the club forward, to try and arrest the slide. And he's our man to take us forward now. I think in Chris Hutchins, he's got a very experienced, very competent number two. In Mark Crosley, who's come in as goalkeeping coach, very passionate about the town. He lives in the town. I think he wants more than anything for Barnsley, his hometown club, to be successful. You had Paul Heckingbottom, we've just talked into that mix, and I think if you look at that four, that's great. John Lucas, who was our former sports rehabilitator and nutritionist, who came in with Keith Hill and David Flitcroft, he's now moved on. So it's a team moulded by Danny that's got a real Barnsley feel to it, and that is what's going to take us forward. And apart, there has been no thought whatsoever that Danny and that team, some of it deeply ingrained into Barnsley, is anything other than the way we're going to move forward for this year.
Barnsley Chief Executive Ben Mansford live on BBC Radio Sheffield. We've got him for a few moments for more, and still some topics we want to get into as well, perhaps on broader points involving football, not just on Barnsley. We'll get into the B team's issue in the financial fair play in a moment.